It's time for another edition of Dome and Domer, the only podcast for Notre Dame fans by Notre Dame fans. If you're looking for cogent analysis and unbiased opinions backed by careful reporting, you've come to the wrong place. For the next 20 minutes or so, you'll get a fan's perspective on the Fighting Irish without all the normal spin from the so-called professional analysts. It's Dome and Domer. Now, here are your hosts, Mike Brammer and Ed Jordanic.
Hello, Irish fans, and welcome to another edition of Dome and Domer. My name is Mike Brammer. Joining me, Mike Coffey from NDNation.com, as Ed is nowhere to be found. So, Coffey, I'm kind of curious. What 3 weeks ago, the spread was in Vegas, 21-point underdogs for the Irish. They're now a 6.5-point spread favorite. Granted, I mean, obviously, Eason has a lot to do with this, but even still, I mean, does that kind of surprise you somewhat?
It surprises me a little bit. I think I think the 21 was probably just as unrealistic as the 6 is. I think Vase had a chance to take a look at Brandon Wimbush, and I'm sure they liked what they saw. I mean, God knows I liked what I saw. And then anytime you bring in a freshman quarterback, you're introducing unknowns into the equation. So I think what's going to happen here is, and actually I think I read that the line has since settled down to around 4, 3.5. So I think the water's finding its level here. And I think the line's going to reflect a little bit more of what we're going to see come Saturday night.
I thought I checked it 2 hours ago and it was 6.5, but maybe that's one particular site, or I might even been wrong. I don't know how to read a line anyway. To be
so, you're not a degenerate gambler? Come on.
Yeah, exactly. But, I'm not too surprised, to be honest with you. I think you're right. 21 point, that was just the media playing into all the hype of the downtrodden program and what a disaster it is. But I agree with you. I think it's more, 3 points one way or the other. I mean, I think that's a realistic assessment. If you're asking me what do I think is going to happen, I think it's a 27-24 Notre Dame win. And I do think that, we may struggle a little bit early, but we'll get our footing and things will go our way. So interestingly, I had these Georgia fans on the program and was kind of, unfortunately, technical difficulties kept us from getting the show produced, but I still may make that happen. In any event, it was kind of interesting to point out the strengths and weaknesses from their side. And I mean, I think clearly there's concern from them on the offensive line, as it should be. And that being the case, that, in this game, you can have the best running backs in the world, but if you don't have an offensive line moving any kind of holes, it's going to be tough on anybody. That being the case, I mean, what do you expect? What are your thoughts on, I mean, obviously, don't you think that Notre Dame's going to probably tighten it up inside the box to start and make this kid beat us?
It certainly sounds like what Brian Kelly's been saying in the press conferences this week. They're very aware of how good Georgia's running backs are, and I think I don't think they're going to go so far as to say, all right, we're going to try to completely take that away. But at least you know that the focus is there. So I think it is going to put a lot of pressure. It's going to put pressure not only on Georgia's offensive line, but also Notre Dame's defensive line. I think Temple ran for more yards than I would have liked last weekend, and the old saying, teams make their biggest improvement between game one and game two. I certainly hope that's true on the defensive line. I like the way the linebackers played. I like the way the defensive backfield played, and I suppose the defensive line played well, but between the quality of play and depth, I don't know. It's almost like weakness meets weakness. I'm not necessarily weak, but maybe non-strength meets non-strength. So I don't know if it's going to take a lot for either one of those groups to gain the upper hand over the other, because it's not like they're starting from a position of strength to begin with.
Well, I think it's pretty obvious that early on in the game, if George is finding success with the run, we're going to be in for a long night. And I would... I tend to agree with you. I don't know that we saw enough in the first game to give us confidence that we got a shot at shutting them down, even though their offensive line is not very good. Inexperienced, once a freshman. So for me, I really kind of feel like it's going to be interesting to see what kind of adjustments we make, like you say, between the first and the second, and, you know, where does this go?
To be honest, I think it's beyond the first adjustment. I mean, I think both teams are going to adjust. That the key to me is going to be which team makes the second adjustment well, because both teams are going to come out. They have their game plans. They're going to start trying to execute them. They're either going to meet success or not. But both sides are going to adjust to what the other team is doing. The key is going to be who gets past that first. If they're taking away, if either team is taking away the other team's ground game, can they get enough going with the in the air to make them pay for it? It's going to be to me, it's not the first adjustment. It's going to be the second one that's really going to make a difference.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, along those lines, and I think the back to the comment you were making about why a 6.5-point spread, where are they getting that from? There is some probably pleasant surprise in the assessment of Brandon Wimbush at quarterback, and I do think he's the difference. You know, if you look at, okay, what are the keys of this game and how's this going to play out, I think both quarterbacks are on display, and maybe for a little bit of a different reasons. Obviously, Brandon Wimbush is going to have that balanced attack working for him. If he doesn't rush for 75 yards, I don't see us winning the football game. I really don't.
Yeah, I could see that. My big concern there, though, is he took some decent hits last week, and I just see a defense like Georgia being able to punish him a lot more. I mean, you don't want to abandon him as a weapon, but I just hate to see, every time he's juking with the ball and moving through that first 5 yards past the line of scrimmage, I find myself getting all clenched up thinking, remembering what happened at Virginia. So,
well, I mean, so I do think that's a great point. Is Brandon Wimbush going to try and do too much? Because if he does make that mistake, then that's your first flinch. Brandon has got to be Brandon, but he's also got to be a balanced attack. From, on the other case, is a freshman who can't afford to make any mistakes. And if he does, that's going to be a problem for Georgia. So it'll be interesting, the quarterback play and the assessment of them, and see how they do, because I do think that's going to translate into success for both of them, is how they play. But, you know, on the defensive side of things, how does Georgia's defense, who does have athletes, this is a much better defense than Temple threw at us.
No doubt.
These are guys, these are guys that have some serious athletes at every position. What does the Notre Dame look like against a D like that? And do they find the opening gaps? And do we establish some runs and so forth? That, I mean, obviously that's going to be keys in this game. You know, one of the interesting things when I was on with the Georgia fans doing the podcast was the question and the assessment of which team is in more dire need of this win. And I was a little surprised to hear them say that the pressure's on Notre Dame. It's not really us. We can get away. I was surprised to hear that. Now, here's the argument they were making, that okay, we don't need to win this game because it's all going to come down to the SEC for us. There's no way an SEC champion doesn't get into the playoffs.
Well, I don't know about that either. To be honest, I agree with their first assessment, but disagree with their second. I agree there's more pressure on Notre Dame because this is Brian Kelly 2.0. This is the reboot. This is, hey, we're gonna replace some assistant coaches and it's gonna be significantly better, which is fine. But if they come out this week and completely lay an egg, and no, I don't think that's going to happen, but If they come out and all of a sudden we're looking at a 14 and 17 point loss, well, now all of a sudden where does that go? As opposed to if Georgia loses. Yeah, they still have the SEC to fall back on. But having said that, I don't necessarily agree with them that an SEC champion can't get left out of the playoffs. And I to be honest, that mindset always drives me nuts. There are people out there who think, oh, the SEC is premier football. There's nobody better. Well, look at the last couple bowl seasons. Their teams haven't done too well. I mean, granted, you've got their top is very, very good. Alabama is they're the archetypical program right now. They are the standard. But you get below Alabama, who's next? Florida, LSU, Auburn? I mean, I don't know who their second is. Their one is fantastic, but I think you could fit a lot of top teams in the Big Ten, possibly the Pac-12 and the Big 12 in that gap between the 1 and 2 in the SEC.
Yeah. Well, and I think from Georgia's case, I mean, I don't see them losing at Notre Dame and then running the table. I mean, that's probably not going to happen.
True.
Yeah, and so from that standpoint, I kind of get where they're coming from the SEC champion, but only because it's going to be Alabama or, by some stroke, a fluke of a luck, a one-loss SEC team. There's no way a two-loss team is going to win the SEC this year and win the championship game and head into the playoffs. So I just don't see that happening. But in any event, you know, it was interesting to kind of get the feedback from them and to see the perspective on their side. But also in questioning them, their assessment from the outside, how do you see Brian Kelly in the hot seat that he's on and what do you think? And I was a little intrigued by their response, which was, hey, look, there's no way Notre Dame's firing Brian Kelly. That ain't going to happen. Now, granted, that was tempered with unless there's another disastrous season at hand. But they just didn't see it with, number one, what they saw on last Saturday, and number two, with the fact that you've got these, you know, a new program with new assistants, as you said, you know, kind of reboot 2.0. Chances are not very high that Notre Dame's going to go 4-8 this year, you know, not with what they looked like last Saturday. Does Brian Kelly eke out 8-5 and keep his job? He probably does, depending upon, you know, what happens with those five losses. I think it totally depends. I would say that's the bottom bar, though. I can't see it being anything less than that. But by the same token, you know, the pressure's on Brian. I think this is a key moment for this season. If Notre Dame against an inferior quarterback, granted, Georgia's a good team, but without that quarterback there, I mean, you got to argue that Vegas has probably got it right. Notre Dame should win this football
game. I would agree. I think there's more. I mean, Brandon Wimbush is inexperienced, but he played 2 years ago. He's been in the program. This is his, what, third year in the program? I mean, he should know what's going on, and he certainly seemed last week like he knew what was going on. Yeah, there were a couple of mistakes, but overall, I thought his quality of play was very, very high. I really liked what I saw in the offense. I liked the balance. I like that they could get the, and I know it's, I agree with those who say that it seemed like the run game was feast or famine, but you know, it seemed that the way Temple was playing defense, that they were maximizing their chances to limit the gains, but if one guy made a mistake, Notre Dame would have a whole lot of space to run in, and that's really what we saw. So I think Notre Dame has a lot of weapons. I'd like the game a lot better if Stevenson was available to bolster the recruiting, or the wide receiver core, because I mean, other than Equanimeous St. Brown, it was kind of hit or miss. So I'd like to see a little bit more air possibilities.
Yeah, and I'm a big Stevenson fan. I don't know what's going on, but I sure would like that to get resolved, because I thought he showed some pretty decent promise last year. And, you know, you look at the limited number of action he had, he certainly had a nice set of catches with the limited amount of time that he saw last year. So, you know, from that perspective, I agree. One of the things I thought was kind of interesting, and I'm curious as to what you think about this. I mean, obviously Kirby Smart is coming at this from his reliance on the defensive side of the ball, right? And I think this game sets up for that for Georgia. They've lost their starting quarterback. That's not going to change. I don't know that Fromm showed enough last week. I mean, yeah, granted they won, but he didn't exactly have to read a bunch of defenses and didn't look like he was making some decisive decisions that made differences in their passing game. So I get the feeling that Kirby is going to want to keep this game as close and tight as possible into the fourth quarter and keep it a low-scoring game. And the way he'll accomplish that is by his defensive scheme that he comes up with. What do you think that's going to be? I mean, if you had to guess right now, what do you think Georgia's angle is going
to
be?
I think Georgia's angle is going to be to force Notre Dame's wide receiver core to make the difference. I think they are going to I think they're going to play run first as far as defense goes. I think they're going to focus on containing Brandon Wimbush. I think they're willing to take a chance that Brandon Wimbush can beat them with his arm, because they know that Brandon Wimbush can beat them with his feet. So I think they're going to try to take that away. I think they're going to try. They're going to focus on Adams and walking all the. They're going to try to contain the ground game, Brandon Wimbush especially. And if Wimbush has a good day throwing, or the receivers have a great game, well, you know, that's why both teams give scholarships out. But if I were the defensive coordinator for Georgia, I would see that as being the quickest path to a victory.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. Yeah, you know, I do think that, look, I think it's not difficult to figure out that if I'm Georgia, I'm going to line up and I'm going to lean probably 65, maybe even 70% of the time to Notre Dame running the football on the left side of the line. I mean, you got two AP All-Americans there. It's going to be – Brian Kelly would have a horrible press conference if he's running the football 80% of the time to the right side and ends up losing the football game. He'll never hear the end of that one. And so that being the case, I think, you know, Georgia is going to lean that way. And I think that, you know, they're going to be particularly paying attention to that. And so therefore, Brian Kelly and Chip Long are going to have to come up with that. All right, what's the approach there? I mean, how do we counter that? Are we going to fake the handoff to the left side and have Wimbush peel around and go opposite?
That certainly would be one way to do it, because like you said, you can't. They're probably going to go after it, but you can't abandon it. I mean, you can't. You absolutely can't. I mean, you are the coaching staff has to make it work. The players have to make it work. They have to. Even if you've got the middle linebacker shading over to that side for run support, well, hey, you're an AP All-American. Now's the time to show it.
And you know, for the running backs, you're going to have to make that first guy miss. You know, you just can't expect to have, you know, wide open lanes for you. This is a big game. Now, having said that, I do think Notre Dame, I'm hoping that we see that. We see let's establish the left side. And it's boom, boom. And then the next thing you know, at the next third and one opportunity we got, it's Wimbush pulling it and sneaking around the opposite side. That's the kind of stuff that I think I'd like to see, just to, you know, give us some confidence that, all right, we're taking the absolute very best approach we possibly can.
Well, Wimbush seemed to make, from a run-pass option perspective, Wimbush seemed to make good decisions, and he was reading that pretty quick last week. So I'm hoping the upgrade in speed that is represented by playing Georgia instead of playing Temple doesn't affect that too much, but at least at its base, his decision-making there seems to be pretty good. Now, the throwing into coverage part, probably still need to work on that a little bit, but no baby steps.
Yeah, and I guess what I'd like to see is us maybe, you know, playing it a little bit conservatively in the first half or in that first quarter. You know, certainly the last thing we want to do is do what we did against Oklahoma a couple years ago and get down 14-0, because that just isn't going to do us any good. So from that standpoint, let's not risk it all early. Let's kind of establish some things and let's kind of feel our way into this and then strike where we can and set them up with opportunities that where Wimbush can make the difference. And I think the difference Wimbush can make is he's putting pressure on them from a run standpoint. And that means if it's spread and we run the spread offense, and he's pulling it a few times more. Now, what we're hearing is that they didn't show everything in the playbook last week, and that kind of makes sense.
Sure.
And supposedly that's going to translate into some tight end throws this week. and that would make sense, right? We didn't Absolutely. Do we didn't do a lot of that last week, and that no. you know kept the tight ends in, and we're blocking, and we're opening up holes. But I think you're going to have to, with this defense and the athleticism, you're going to have to open it up a little bit. And that for me is going to be interesting. It'll be interesting to see if they drop Wimbush straight back, or do they tend to get him out of the pocket.
Mm-hmm. No, I absolutely, yeah. Granted, I don't think either team necessarily showed everything, but it will be, as you said, this isn't a time to leave a play that works in the locker room. I mean, you need to. This is a pivotal game that can really set up a great season. So there's no reason not to bring everything in the kitchen sink.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think this is, and I think Brian Kelly knows that, and he's aware of the situation and how badly he needs this win. And so that, I think, is going to be intriguing in and of itself. You know, one of the other things I think will be real interesting is just to see the effect of all of these new enhancements to Notre Dame Stadium, right? So this is the first big night game. This is the first time that we should see the difference in what the Jumbotron makes for us, right? So
you'd think.
I mean, and I think this is going to be interesting. I really do. I mean, in those moments where we need that edge, it's going to be interesting to see if and what they put on the Jumbotron to get that crowd into it. Notre Dame Stadium, as we all know, is not exactly the most difficult place in the world to play. You got a lot of older alumni that attend these games, and they're not the kind of people that are going to stand up and cheer.
Well, I think they do when they're given something to stand up and cheer for. I have been on the record for a long time. I do not like the Tron. I hate the fact that people think it's necessary. From what I heard, it was not bad at Temple. But yeah, I'm also interested to see how it runs, not only from that standpoint, but do they now they've got a week under their belt. What are they going to do? What directions are they going to go? Because I saw the way the Tron was used, the screen in Purcell Pavilion was used when it was first installed, and how it's used now. So this will be interesting to watch, not only this week, but the rest of the season and the next season. How are they going to modify the experience, so to speak, in order to incorporate it?
Yep. Yeah, and no, I'm with you there. I totally agree.
Let's do that. Speaking of basketball, if I can throw this out there real quick for all the kindly folk listening out there. If you are on campus for the game and you are around Purcell Pavilion at 3:30 on Saturday, you may want to stick your head in, because there is the final target, uncommitted target, Nate Lazuski, is going to be on campus for his official visit. Not only are the three currently committed players coming in also, but some recent alums like DJ and Vasturia and those guys are all going to come in, and they are going to have some massive scrimmages in Purcell Pavilion starting at 3:30. It'll be just players shooting around, playing around. I think that's really going to be worth seeing. So if you're around there, make some time to stop in there and check it out.
Yeah, that's a good point. Actually, Sully mentioned this to me earlier. And now, although he told me 2 p.m., but maybe he's talking about something private.
Maybe it is too. But no, but I had heard it was I thought it was going to be on the court of Purcell Pavilion at 3:30.
Okay, you might be right about that. But I had heard that Pat Connaughton is in town, and Jerry and Grant is in town.
All those guys are coming in, and they're all going to play.
I mean, that's definitely worth sticking your head in for that. So that'll be interesting. All right, before we head out of here, what's your prediction? What do you think the final score?
I picked, in our contest, 28-27 Notre Dame, and I see no reason to alter it. So that's my voice.
Yeah, I got 27-24 Notre Dame.
Only one of us is right, which would be good.
Yeah, hey, as long as we're right, that's all that's good for me.
Absolutely.
All right, good deal. You've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. For Mike Coffey, I'm Mike Brammer. Thanks for listening.